praise his name.
Hallelujah. Let's stand together, if you will. Let's just bow our heads as we open the service. Dear Jesus, you're so wonderful to us. So thankful that, Lord, I've heard the call in my heart tonight to come and to gather. And Lord, as each one came, Father, with great anticipation, as we, Lord, truly it is in our hearts. Lord, looking forward, what will you speak to us tonight? Where will you draw us to? Lord, instructing us, leading us, and guiding us. Oh, God, it's so wonderful to serve you. Pray that you would bless each and every one that's here. Lord, as you walk amongst us, pray that you would touch and mend and heal. Lord, just minister to everyone. Oh, God, and when the time comes for us to leave, we'll truly know it's been good to be here. Bless us now, Lord. We ask and draw us close to thee in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Praise his name. Turn with me, if you would, and I'd like to start on page 51. I think that's in our only bleed books. And glory to his name.
Yes, amen. Hey.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name.
Amen.
Oh, singing glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart blood applied. Glory to his name. Oh, I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross, glory to his name. Oh, singing glory to his name. Oh, glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. glory to his name.
praise and honor. Amen. Page 85 in our capstone books. Calvary.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Oh, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Oh, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, now I've given Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Oh, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the love that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Oh, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
Amen. Have you found his mercy, his grace? Oh, hallelujah. Page 100. Oh, so familiar song, but really speaks volumes. Joy unspeakable.
I have found his grace is all complete. He supplied every need.
Oh, listen.
While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and that has never yet been told. Oh, I have found the pleasure I once craved. It is joy and peace within. What a wondrous have found a hope so bright and clear, living in the realm of grace. Oh, the Savior's presence is so near, I can see His smiling face. Hallelujah. Oh, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory.
I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Are you glad, saints?
I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Oh, I'm so glad, amen, Jesus set me free. Sing and glory, hallelujah. Set me free. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Well, I'm on my way to heaven and I'm shouting victory. I'm on my way to heaven and I'm shouting victory. I'm on my way to heaven. Oh, hallelujah, Lord.
Amen.
Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Well, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Oh, I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Oh, singing glory, hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah, he set me free.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, I'm so thankful, saints. Hallelujah. Amen. So wonderful. How many have something on your heart? Amen. Just hold it on your heart, if you would. Praise his name. Brother Josh, would you like to take the request again?
Open, Lord, and let our eyes see what you have for us. Lord, we ask all these things in your presence. Holy name.
Jesus' name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. You have a song tonight, Karen? I ask if you'd come.
Started crying as he looked around through all heaven and earth. No one worthy was found. And the book held God's secrets. The mystery must be revealed. Then John saw a bleeding lamb come to open those seals. He shouted, "Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb." He's opened the book now, revealed his great plan. He's whispered his secrets, "I know who I am." Worthy, worthy, worthy is. Angel descended with that open book. As a lion he started roaring. Oh, how my heart shook. For I heard precious words straight from God's heart to mine. And they're hidden in the pages. My name I did find. I'm shouting, "Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb." He's opened the book now, revealed his great plan. He's whispered his secrets, "I know who I am." Worthy, worthy, worthy is. All heaven is silent, angels stand with heads bowed. So who's gonna praise him? It's my turn now. Yes, I'm gonna praise him. It's my turn
only believes, ask her brother to come. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. The song the sisters sang, I thought that was very fitting. Who's going to praise him now? Amen. May our hearts go out to him. Amen. As we bow our heads, precious Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you for the opportunity to be here. Lord, for the desire that burns in our heart. And Lord, for the great thanksgiving that we have to see the mercy and the grace that you've bestowed upon us, Lord, in this day.
to open up our eyes, Lord, and to give us eyes have to see. Yes. And to understand what great things you have recorded in your precious word. And Lord, to have a people that can stand here today not ignorant or not understanding, Lord, what you meant. But by grace, Lord, we truly can see your great plan of salvation and your great plan and mystery that was hidden and has been revealed to this little bride, Lord. And we just keep crying out for a greater understanding, Lord, and a greater revelation. The Lord, as you quoted in your word, by the renewing of our minds, that we would be transformed to be conformed to that image of your precious Son. Now, Lord, we've gathered here tonight under the anointing of your precious word, just asking, Lord, that these few words some way will strengthen, encourage, help someone. And, Lord, that there would be a purpose in it. And we commit ourselves unto your hands, Lord, and ask your will to be done in the remainder of this service. In the most precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. He is truly wonderful. Amen. While you're still standing, if you would, let's turn over to the book of Isaiah and read a scripture here in the 46th chapter. Amen. Kind of a little strange thought. Might sound like I'm going to preach a Christmas message. That was not my intent nor my idea. But as we go along, just read God's, let's just listen to God's word and just let it saturate our hearts. And maybe we can pull something out of these quotes. Amen. But here in the 46th chapter of the book of Isaiah, I'll begin about the 9th verse. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and the ancient times and the things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, and I will also do it. May the Lord bless you in his word, and you may be seated. Very powerful scripture.
Yes, amen.
And you know, it's wonderful to serve a living God.
Amen.
And to be able to see, no matter what you face in life, to know that he is with you.
Yes.
And never leave you nor forsake you. And what a comfort it brings, as we spoke last Thursday evening, knowing that I'm in his care. But as we realize all these things that are happening around us, this Brother Branham made this quote in the message, the Super Sign, preached November 29, 63. And just, he said, sometimes we get upset, we get hastily, and we think, oh, we must do this or do that. But remember, God's clock will be just exactly on time. All these things has to be this way. It has to be all be done according to his great knowledge, his foreknowledge.
Yes.
For by his foreknowledge he could predestinate, not by his desire, but by his knowledge. God doesn't predestinate by his desire. He is not willing that any should perish. But by his foreknowledge, he knew who would accept it and who would not. And therefore, he can make everything work according to his big time clock that's ticking away. For he could foretell the end from the beginning. And therefore, he knew that we would live in this day. And he knew that this would be our day. And he had plans for this day. And he has had plans for every day. And never has one of those plans ever failed. He is always on time. And as we think about that for a moment, I'd like to turn over to Isaiah, the 7th chapter. And they're very small scriptures, but just to catch some things that was spoken here. And thinking about Isaiah 7. And we realize that right now to the world, realizing they recognize this as Christmas. And they have turned it into this great thing of, you know, and I was thinking back how years ago, when Christmas first started, so to speak, way back, that started the whole thing. It was started as kind of a right act, almost, trying to turn a pagan people away from their ideas. And how the prophet has showed us where it originated from. And then showing how down through time, look at how religious people have held that day to a sacred. It used to be, you know, everything was closed. People went to church. They were still honoring somewhat to a degree the birth of Christ. But today, he's not even thought of. It's no longer even part of this thing they call Christmas. But, you know, and through that, oftentimes, what God has done for us and in his greatness sometimes gets lost to even those, how that should be such a tremendous thing to us to see God's great plan revealed. It's not just a story that we went back and read in a Bible, but God was moving to perform and to bring to pass every promise that he made in this book. And how to us it should be such a great thing. Not only just the birth of Christ, that was only the beginning. But to see why he was come, but to see him expressed, and to see God express himself to us in a manner, and to pay the price through Jesus Christ for our sins. But I want you to think about that. God's clock is always on time, and he will perform what he set out to do. So here in Isaiah, the 7th chapter, let's just read this. He says, Isaiah 7:14, and we'll remember. He says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." God's word went forth. Yes. Think about just that. God spoke his word, amen, through a prophet. And it was sent out. People heard it, and it was written down and recorded. And then if you would turn to Micah, the 5th chapter, just to catch two small verses. Amen. There's many in the Bible. But in Micah, the 5th chapter, and it's the 2nd verse. In Micah 5:2. "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judea, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old and from everlasting." And God, think about how great God is to be able to see the end from the beginning. Yes, he knew exactly how it was all going to be. He knew exactly the time and the place it was going to happen. In the human world, we'll call it, look at the years that spanned from here to what we're going to read over here in Luke, the 2nd chapter, just to catch what God had sent forth his word. In Luke 2, if you turn with me just to think about it. Hundreds of years in our time passed, and God's word had been spoken. Maybe many had forgotten and hadn't thought much about it. But God never forgets, and he knew what he was going to do. And just to catch this a little bit and to point out the greatness of God, just think about this here. And Satan, always working on the other end, always trying to tear down and destroy. Here Herod raised up at this time, trying to destroy, and knowing that that king was supposed to come and the message had went out, and I'm not going to take time to read all of it. But we'll just start here at the 2nd chapter just to catch a few verses. The first verse. "And it came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one, into his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." What a time those shepherds must have had when this began to take place, realizing God was come to earth to house himself in a body, and to bring, to pay the price that we could be redeemed. Now, they didn't maybe fully understand all that was happening at this time, but I want you to stop and think all that's been written here, And how we have so graciously had God send us a prophet to go back and to take the scriptures that was laying here and to take out man's creed and man's idea and to bring us back to a place to where the greatness of our God is magnified before us. That we're not wrapped up in some idea or some, oh, it's such a good story. But realizing what was taking place and happening for you, for our benefit. But greatness of all, God's word was being fulfilled and manifested. And happening right down the line. And it's oftentimes easy to read something and just think, oh, they just happened to be in Bethlehem. But Brother Branham, in the message, in this message, that great shining light, and he preached this December 22nd, 1957. He talks about this just a little bit, and I want you to catch some of what he was saying. He says, it's an unusual thing to speak of these things because, after all, God is unusual. And this is paragraph 6. And God does things in an unusual way, and sometimes at an unusual time, because he's very unusual. And those who serve him are unusual. They're a peculiar people. And so as we, this time of season, as we focus our thinking towards Christmas, it's too bad that we have to laud it to a myth called Santa Claus instead of the real Christmas that it's supposed to be. Many little children in the land today know nothing more that Christmas means than a sleigh full of toys and some mystic reindeers pouncing on the house. To only learn later of this myth, not to even hurt their faith. When it comes to know the true Christmas story, that it had nothing to do with reindeers, or a man smoking a pipe, or a fur hat with his coat. It was the birth of our blessed Lord Jesus, and the most unusual to see how God worked in this manner, because no other time would have ever worked in all the history of the world. It had to be just exactly at that time. And now for a few moments, just look at that season. It was a time when Herod the murderer was king. It had to be. This heartless man had to be king at the time. For we're acquainted with the scriptures that he said he slew all the children from 2-year-old down trying to find Christ. And it has to be just at that time. And then there had to be at that time, there had to be a raise to taxation to cause Mary and Joseph to go back to their hometown of Bethlehem where they were registered. And their birth was on the record of the courts and in the temple to be taxed. And Christ was to be born in Bethlehem, and they were many miles away when this took place. Now I want you to think about that. These are natural events that was happening in their life. She was pregnant. Their taxes had to be paid. They had to go here. In their mind, they were going about their normal day routine. But I want you to think about God, how he made everything work exactly the way he wanted it to work. He knew exactly what was taking place, what situation it would take to cause them to be in Bethlehem for that birth. Just look at how it all falls together for him. But Brother Branham goes on to kind of put some, he says, and we noticed as the perils that they had to go through in order to get there. Now, they didn't have a great big fine plush ambulance to take Mary up there. They didn't have it as today that we could have some kind of an excuse. It was a king's order. No excuses are made. It must be fulfilled. The king said so. No matter her conditions or what, they must return to their homeland. No comfort for the little expecting mother. No way of travel. Only by foot on the back of a little donkey. And we are told that Joseph had taken Mary, this expected mother at the time, setting her on the back of a little donkey. And if anyone ever rode a donkey knows what a rough ride that is. And that little fellow along the narrow trail that wound up over the mountains coming to Bethlehem from Lower Judea, very rough, rugged road. What if that little donkey would have not been sure-footed? What if it would have fell with this expecting mother? Or in the days when there was so much travel coming into their homelands, the whole country was working alive with pilgrims and travelers back to the homeland. A very good setup for robbers in those days. When they seen this little caravan of small peoples, the riders and robbers have rode right in and slew them and took their goods and went off. What a thing it was to this young married couple that they had to face, and how it would have been. And also, what if some of the wild beasts, which there was lions and many destroying wild animals that roamed in the deserts that they had to cross. What if a wild beast would have took towards the little party? What could Joseph have done with a stick in his hand and a wife that could hardly move? They had to face that. But it gives us consolation to know this, that we do not hold our destiny. God holds our destiny. And he has ordained it to be so that there is nothing will ever interrupt the program of God. We're bound to arrive. And there was to be no fear. And yet maybe Mary and Joseph and themselves, just common people, not educated, they didn't have the way of knowing that these things that they were taking place right at the time was fulfilling scriptures. And it's the same today. Things are taking place right in this day that we live in, and many of us not knowing nothing about it, of how God is moving. And I want you to think about how God is moving in the heart of the bride. There's many that just have went backwards. As our pastor was showing us, they set out on a journey. They got excited. They heard things. And they run to it and they cut off of the things of the world and they shed away and started to make light their preparation. But time has went on. And time has went on. And that word's become dull in their hearing. It's become, oh, I know what he said. I know that was spoken. But where's it at? God's not negligent of his promises, nor of his word going forth. And I want you to think about that, how long it took from the time the word went out through Isaiah and through Micah. Hundreds of years before. And we can even see it today. Look how many years it was spoken by Micah the prophet that Malachi 4 would be here. Look at God's word. It always just keeps going and it's going. But God's got a time and a place. And by God's grace, he's revealed himself to a people and sent a prophet in this last age to show that he is going to fulfill every word. And you may be going through life right now. This week, things have happened. Things have happened around each and every one of us. Maybe we had a conversation. Maybe a situation has taken place that's thrown us into another opportunity. Something over here that's faced us. But we're to be a people that's truly beginning to be led by the Spirit of God. A people that's in tune with the Spirit. Realizing that whatever God needs from you, from me, we're just not wandering blindly through life. And realizing that every circumstance that's happening is happening for a purpose. The footsteps of the righteous are ordained of God. Bad situations sometimes may be happening. Just look at all that went through. Look what Herod did by killing all of those babies. Look what had happened at the time. Look, Joseph, just think of you, sister, sitting here. If you had a daughter that was at that age and that much pregnant, and your son-in-law wanted to throw him on a donkey and take him up to another town to pay taxes, can you imagine how many people was trying to talk him out of it? You shouldn't go. You shouldn't do this. Oh, think of this. Think of that. This is there in the way. But God was made with preparations. We don't know sometimes why that thing is laying in front of us. We don't know why we had to turn aside and maybe we're sitting over here or why we're standing over there. All of these things are happening, but God is working all things to the good of them that love him, them who are the called according to his purpose. Just think of where we're standing tonight, and as God's word has went forth and he has said he's going to have a people. Now, many people's forgotten what God said, but God has so graciously shed light on his precious word back into your heart. By the renewing of our minds, we gather in here, and God is so gracious to deliver fresh word every time. And you may think we come in here and, oh, that might be redemptive. We've heard that before. And I heard that a couple years ago, and I heard that maybe 4 or 5 years before. But God's always right on time. He's never late. He's never behind. And his message is delivered precisely when it's needed for his individuals. And you know, sometimes we forget to consult him. We forget that he's in control. He knows what's happening. And we get in a hurry sometimes. Things happen around us and we're human. We want to go to our way of thinking of how we should solve the situation or stop the situation or who we need to tell about the situation. When we are to be a people that's coming under subjection to God and his Holy Spirit and waiting on him. As we sang the little song the other day, they that wait upon the Lord. Yes. Wait for him to lead us and to guide us into our movements. There's so many places we could run to and jump out and do what we think. But God's plan is on time. Yes. And he will move if we would just get in tune with him. And let this precious word saturate our hearts. There is a great work going on in the heart of that little bride. And if you can feel that desire and the enthusiasm that's burning in your heart, we're waiting. I was thinking today and singing a little song. It could happen any moment. It could happen in the twinkling of an eye. It could all wrap up just like that. Yes, it's been prophesied that it's going to happen. We know it's been spoken about. And it was been many years since he said, I will come again. He said himself in the scriptures, we read it. I will come again to you. Oh, think about it, saints. But people, oh, yeah, we know the Lord's coming. We know he's coming. But is it fresh in our hearts? Is it burning that he keeps his word? He said he would finish what he started. And oh, may it be striking in our hearts greater and greater as this word's coming forth, as our pastor was talking Sunday, of overcoming. What a joy that ought to place in our hearts. What an excitement that ought to be in our hearts of wanting to be that overcomer. And how to, and it was striking to me as I was reading back through, as he read Sunday, speaking of, at the start of each one of the messages to the church, here. You know, what hear what the Spirit says. And when you look in the Scofield Bible at Micah, all three, there's three parts to Micah, and all of them start with, hear ye the Lord. Amen. And it's along the, it's, don't say it exactly in those words, but it all starts with hear, what's being spoken. God speaking to a people. And God sent us a prophet and spoke to us in this day to point out these things. And you know, you take this Christmas that's happening around us. It's everywhere. Everybody's getting into it. The churches, oh, all the churches are back into putting up trees, it seems like, and getting all this Santa Claus back and just going hog wild with it all. And they've forgotten what's been spoken to them. They forgot what's been delivered to them. They've started like Lot's wife to look back. Oh, it was a lot funner when we did that. It was a lot better when we had that back there. But there's a people that God predestinated. Amen. To be conformed to the image of his son. Amen. That there's no looking back. It's only looking ahead. Amen. And looking for the promise to be fulfilled to them. Amen. And you think about the Zechariah, the prophet. I think it was Zechariah. Who was the God promised him that he would see that. The Lord. That's in the second chapter there too. Amen. Yeah, they're about the, just about the 24th verse of the book of Luke, where it continues on down. It says, as it is written, the law, every male that openeth up the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. And then he took him up in his arms, and he blessed him. He blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Amen. Think about that. God had made a promise to him, and he fulfilled it. Look at how God's word is never returns void. Any place it's recorded, it brought forth exactly the what it said it would do. And here we sit tonight, recipients of God's precious word, Amen. Seeing that what's taking place and how we're a part of it. It's been revealed to us. We're not blind. We're not setting off some sort wondering. No, by God's grace and mercy, he has revealed himself, made himself known and made it plain what his mystery was, and showed forth to a special people and filled them with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and set their feet and pulled them out of that miry clay, set them aside and showed them that they can look back and see God's great plan. As John said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And see the type of how it had to be without spot and blemish. And to see it typed through the scriptures, totally to see that life lived out before us. And to see as our pastor was bringing it back, it has to be the literal life of Jesus Christ. When we see the life that was portrayed through that body, the life that was lived, and oh my, to see that he made a way, that the life that was in that lamb couldn't come back up on this natural lamb, couldn't come back upon that worshiper. But oh, today to be able to lay our hands upon our sacrifice and to know that that life has returned and to replaced. Oh, what a joy it ought to bring to our hearts, saints. Amen. I'm kind of hitting a lot of little things there without going in and reading a bunch, but we should have these things fresh in our hearts. Yes, as our pastor said, as we study, we read, and we pray and meditate upon the Lord, these things ought to be just running through. Yes. In this time when you're driving down the road and all you can see is what they're doing, it ought to just be glorified. We know Christ wasn't born in this December. We've been revealed to us. We don't have to wonder, oh, well, maybe he was wrong. We don't. There's no wonder. There's no question. God declared exactly what it was. And we stand today recipients of that. And realizing that we want to see our God magnified. Worthy is the Lamb. Amen. It's not to worship anything. To see Satan torn down and destroyed should be our ultimate goal. Amen. Here's a... This is in the message, Proving His Word, paragraph 72. He says, you say, the sun ain't going to shine. This is paragraph 71. You say, the sun ain't going to shine tomorrow. I'm going to stop it. You try it. See, all right? You can't do it. God has set it in order. Said it would shine, and it's going to shine. That's all. He said it would. It might be some clouds under it, but it's still shining just the same. You can't stop God with that. How does he make his word known to the people? First, God knowing that there would be unbelievers. Now watch the wisdom of God. Knowing there would be unbelievers and how the majority would be unbelievers, he by foreknowledge predestinated a seed to every age that would believe it. And if you'll notice, for each age goes right on with his word. Everything right on time. Nothing hinders God. He goes right on. Every click is moving just exactly right. We think sometimes it's not going to work right, but don't you worry. His clock is timed just exactly to the split instant. Everything's working just exactly right. And when I look around sometime and see these Ricky and Rickettas that we've got today on the streets and how everything's going, I think, oh God. But wait a minute. He says, see, my timepiece is turning just exactly right, and I've got to put you up on the same basis that I did the first man. Them days, and I put you on the same basis of Luther, on the same basis of Wesley, because you see, sin wasn't known like it is now, when we've got more knowledge now than we had then. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God raises up a standard against it. And today we've got more knowledge and more understanding. So the rivers of unbelief is flowing in hard, but God raises a standard against it. But remember, he's always... That's the reason he predestinated these things to happen. He foretold them by his prophets they would happen. And when the righteous see these things confirmed, they know it's right, regardless of what anyone else says. They know it's right. And I want you to think about that. We see people left and right that is taken away from God's precious word that has been delivered. We see people tear down scriptures, tear down quotes, do away with this, do away with that. But God remains the same, and it doesn't change. Amen. But just think, he predestinated a people to stand firm in this age. He predestinated that people to be overcomers. Predestinated them to be conformed to that image. He didn't take a chance. He knew. And God is right on time, and he's working everything to the good of them that love him. We see the situations happen. We look at the world. We see the chaos, the sin, the corruption. We see all that's taking place around us, and it's just mind-boggling. We're not even exposed to it because we live so far down here in the hills. We're not exposed to the big cities and things all the time. The corruption, it's on every street corner. People laying in gutters in drugs and alcohol and all kinds of manner of things taking place. And we look and see what's taking place around us, but God has got a little group of believers all over this world that's preparing to meet him at that last trumpet sound. And he's working on their hearts. And they're not distracted with all that's going on around them. They're not getting caught up in all the chaos of the world. And if anything, that's the biggest thing is don't give in to what Satan is trying to do. He's trying in every way just to hinder and to divide and to come amongst. But oh, may we be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And may we truly be waiting upon him for every move we make to realize just what he's going to do, where he could use us, what we can do. When you think of the circumstances, oftentimes all we can do is complain sometimes when circumstances happen in life. We can't accept that things happen that's beyond our control. And sometimes we let it get us so down and so despondent and so worried and so, I don't know. And it just pushes us to the, God has got everything in control. He said to cast all of my cares upon him because he cared for me. And he said, don't take no thought for what you'll eat or what you'll drink. I'll take care of you, but seek ye first the kingdom. I'll make sure all of these other things are added unto you. He never said he would provide our wants, but he said he'd provide our needs. And by God's grace, he's never failed. And I don't worry or fret. You know, you Our pastor had mentioned the Hebrew children quite a bit as being overcomers. But you know, Brother Branham had made this quote in The Power of Transformation, paragraph 53. He said, sometimes it's just like our group here this morning. He said he lets it happen not just overnight. We're the ones that get in a hurry. God is never in a hurry. Mm-hmm. He just says it and it's going to be. Mm-hmm. For when he says anything, it's got to be. It's just going to be. He lets it take its time. Mm-hmm. Just think about the proving time it takes. Yeah. Look as time goes on, it weeds out. Mm-hmm. Think about the children of Israel. They come into that land strong, all the 2 million strong running. We're all going. And it didn't take long before they started dwindling away. And only 2 made the land. Look at all the different types through the scriptures. And look today, everybody's going. But all look at the few that are holding true and steadfast to what God delivered. He says the Hebrew children, the famous characters of the scriptures that was standing on God's word to be true, they said, our God is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace. Nevertheless, see, we won't bow to the image. Because it's against the word, see? Although if he slays us, he'll raise us up again. Mm-hmm. See, he let them walk right up to the edge of this great furnace and drop into it before it seemed like he even paid any attention, like he wasn't even watching them. But he is always watching, yes. And he's always watching for this. Mm-hmm. So just remember that. It may look like everything is bleak and dark, but his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he's watching us. And by God's grace, there's a desire that he placed within a special people that's pushing them, it's driving them, it's drawing them to this place, this final resting place of knowing and seeing that they're ready for a rapture. Knowing that that faith is building up in them. As the more they see God do, the greater the scripture becomes illuminated to them. And every day, circumstances are happening, trials are happening, overcoming's taking place. And what's it doing? It's building that faith in you, preparing you for what God wants out of our lives. Amen. Here in, you sisters can come to the instruments if you would. Let's turn over here to 1 Peter real quick while they're coming. Amen. I've only been about 25 minutes, right? Clock, I'm not sure it's right. Amen. Here in 1 Peter, first chapter. Just listen as Peter read this and think about God. As we read that very first scripture back in Isaiah. But Peter speaking here, he says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood by Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in this last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And to think that a people could consider their trials that precious.
Yes, amen.
So that's just a scripture, brother. No, think about it. Yes. How precious it is to see God through your life overcoming obstacles that stood in your way. Something you couldn't do in yourself. But daily you see the Spirit overcoming through you, making you an overcomer. Amen. How precious they become.
Amen.
Whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. What a joy it is, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow.
Yes.
Unto whom it was revealed, not unto themselves, but unto us did they minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which thing the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober in the hope to the end of the grace that is brought unto us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to former lust in your ignorance, but as he which calleth you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And think about that, in our former lust due to our ignorance. Look what God's, by his mercy and grace, has revealed and made light to us. But as he which has called you is holy, be ye holy in all manner of conversations, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Amen. Who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, and by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass, and the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Amen. May we truly be a people that can truly see by God's grace. We're standing at the fulfillment of time, watching God, all that he promised he would do, and all that he's done. We're standing at the fulfillment of seeing it made manifest and come to pass, to see it come to fullness of what he said he would do. Oh, what a day we're living in, saints, and what a precious opportunity we have to be part of that, and how it ought to stir our hearts when we see what all the world goes into and all they're turning to, but it's been so imparted to you. It's not a man's idea. Well, we don't do Christmas because our church. No, God sent a prophet. God sent the word to enlighten you why we don't do a lot of things. Why don't we have Easter bunnies? Why don't we have Christmas trees? Why don't we do all these other things the world does? Is it just because my church says so? No. The church has got nothing to do with it. Jesus Christ has made himself known to a people. And in the heart of that people, they stand on what God has revealed to them. And they take a stand upon what God said, not upon what a church says or what, you know, oftentimes it gets to that. Well, you don't go to this church anymore. You don't go there. You can do this. You can do that. No, God's word still sets a standard of what I can do and what I can't do. And because you're too blind to see it in God's word doesn't change that it's written there. And oh, may we truly be a people that'll stand and stand some more, not on what we can do, not on our merits, but what on Jesus Christ by his grace has revealed in truth to us, imparted this word to a people, that he would have a people that he could declare to this nation that he is alive and living, and every word be made manifest through their bodies. Amen. Lord, let me be one of them. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Glory to his name. He is so precious. Amen. Just so thankful. I know it may seem like a little bit of a shotgun type message, but I pray there's something, a nugget somewhere you can grab a hold of, and it'll mean more to you. But oh, what a praise ought to be in our hearts for what he has done for us. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus, Hallelujah to the Lamb, as our pastor comes. Amen.
Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb that was slain upon the tree. By his stripes we are healed, and by his Spirit we are sealed. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So thankful for the word of God tonight. I appreciate it. I don't care how many times you hear whatever portion you hear, there's just something about it. The word of God is inspiring. Amen. So thankful for that. We appreciate the labor of our brother in bringing forth that precious word tonight. You know, I'm so thankful, you know, as he was speaking about Christmas and things, so thankful by God's grace that we have the truth. Have what the prophet said. You know, a lot of people miss what the prophet said. They often didn't see in so many different things the progression of revelation he received and in different things that he brought out. And as time went on, you know, he brought it out stronger, brought it out more clear. And so many times people miss those things. You know, they think maybe something he said back in the 50s, you know, think, well, you know, that it was okay to do, you know, but you watch as the Holy Spirit revealed it and kept bringing it out. And even with what he maybe done in his personal life, he still said, go back to them tapes, say what I say. That was the voice of God speaking to the little bride. And I appreciate that. So thankful for revelation. So thankful for the grace and mercy of God. You know, it's just a terrible thing to see what people do during Christmas. You know, they... just think of it. The Lamb of God was born. You know, and it was so sacred and so wonderful that God sent his son, born from a virgin's womb, conceived by the Holy Ghost. A tremendous event that took place. Very sacred event took place. And then God dealt with these shepherds. He dealt with these wise men. And the wise men took and brought forth their gifts and offered. And then man, so silly, twisted around and started giving gifts to each other. So silly. We're not worthy, but he is worthy. He is worthy of all gifts given to him. Yes. But man had to get involved in paganism and things and turn things into like it is. And now it's nothing but commercial. Nonsense. And people in the message get involved in it too. But I celebrate every day the birth of my Lord Jesus Christ. He is so wonderful. He is God. Hallelujah. He's so precious what he's done for us. So thankful by God's grace. We're heading on our way in. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your word and so appreciative. Father, we know that you're dealing with a special called out people, a chosen people. There's many called, Lord, but few are chosen. But Lord, if we can see by the mercy and grace of God and through your love that we are chosen ones, Lord, that's been sent here to go through and go all the way with this. And Father, not be as many that start out in the race and then things come along and distract them. And then they lose, Lord, what you showed them to start with. They started out with a great race. They started to run, Lord, and overcome even. But Lord, as your prophet showed us, it didn't last. Father, I trust that your love and mercy be with us, that it'll last, Lord, until even the time that we change bodies and leave this world. Change in a moment, in a twink of an eye, from mortal to immortal. We long for that, Father. So we ask that you would bless us and keep us, Lord, in your word and keep us in your truth. Forgive us, Lord, of our shortcomings. And Father, if you see anything at all in our lives that doesn't please you, please, Lord, reveal it to us. Open our hearts to it. We want to be right, Lord. We want to be a people that overcome and be the true overcomer. That's the one the promises have been given to. So we ask that you would just go with us now again this evening and watch over us upon the roads. And Lord, it be your mercy and grace. And if you should tarry, bring us back again the next appointed time. And Lord, may there be a hunger stirred in our hearts. For blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. So bless us now in your your holy name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You're dismissed. May God bless you.